Welcome to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. Every week, Federal News Radio interviews the CIOs of federal agencies about the latest directives, IT challenges, and successes. Now here's your host, Jason Miller.
My special guest today is Tony Trenkel, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Chief Information Officer and the Director of the Office of Information Services. Tony, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, Jason.
I've had the CMS CIO on before. It's been a while, so it's good to have you back on. This is, I think, your first interview on a show. So let me start with some basics. Obviously, you have one of the largest CIO offices in the government. Give us a rundown of the makeup of your office.
Yes, that's correct, Jason. We have a very large IT shop here at CMS, and actually, I wear two hats here. One is the CIO and one is the Director of the Office of Information Services. And because we have a decentralized IT infrastructure here, I have only direct control over about half the IT budget. But directly underneath me are eight groups and 30 divisions that do everything from applications development to running data centers, information security, employee laptops, Blackberries, all the things that are kind of made up in terms of how we run a major IT organization that supports the wide variety of business requirements that CMS has.
And the reason why you maybe only have half the control over half of the IT budget is because so much money is put into kind of the systems maintenance for CMS, and are you worried more about the internal systems versus the external systems?
The reason we have a more decentralized is because in a lot of cases, CMS has a number of budgets and program dollars are in many cases mandated through legislation. So often some of the IT work is done directly as part of standing up a program as opposed to kind of the overall IT infrastructure. So some of the applications, some of the hosting of data, those types of things sometimes get done at the program level as opposed at a enterprise level, which is what I run.
How do you take part in that? Because there's architecture issues, there's security issues that you have to make sure are met. Do you guys have some kind of like IT review board or CIO council?
Yes, we actually run it through a couple ways. We certainly have, from the portfolio perspective, we run a ITRB, which is an investment review board that the some of the senior leadership of the agency sits on, that we actually work together and look over the vast number of investments. We also have what we call a technology review board that reviews upcoming and current IT builds and related development efforts, and they make sure that that's pretty consistent with the technical reference architecture, which we keep up to date, in which the various IT organizations are required to comply with. And then on the security side, they have to go through the, get authority to operate and go through the security testing and evaluation process. So it's certainly not a perfect situation in terms of being able to create the greatest efficiencies and overall management, but we do have a number of ways that from the enterprise we can certainly exercise some oversight and work with the business organizations to make sure that we're developing a solution that meet architecture requirements as well as security requirements.
Let's talk a little bit about the part that you do have direct oversight over. One of the things I'd like to know about your office, how many federal employees do you have, how many contractors, and what's your IT budget for 2012?
Obviously, that can change on any given day, but generally I have over 450 employees who report to me directly and about 2,500 contractors. And our overall agency IT budget is about $1.5 billion, and mine runs close to $800 million.
So the ratio seems fairly high, almost 5-1, almost 6-1. Is that a ratio that works for you guys, or is that something you're trying to bring down between federal employees and contractors?
The difference between us and a place like SSA, where I worked before I came to CMS, is pretty dramatic, because a lot of what we do in terms of the IT shop is what I would call project management, overseeing contractors to make sure they meet requirements. But a lot of the hardcore IT development work and support work is actually done by the contractor community. Part of what I when I first came here was just trying to get a handle on the number of contractors we actually have here. And since I've been here, one of the things I've been looking at is how can we look at this in a way that says, okay, what am I getting for my dollars? Is the skill set division between government and contractors appropriate? Do we have the right number of contractors? Do we have the proper controls in place to make sure that we're getting the best bang for the buck? All these type of things. The challenge is not just the decentralized nature of it, but also the legislative imperatives that we have to deal with here. We're on a very fast track, as you know, to meet the goals of health reform, high tech, and other major programs, which makes it very difficult to, you know, develop planning in a way that always maximizes the efficiency of the contracting community, because in a lot of cases we're up against some very tight deadlines.
And I know that's one of the reasons why you do take so much things in-house as well, is because you are hitting those tight deadlines. I mean, a 450-employee IT shop is obviously huge, but even more than 2,500 contractors. One of the things you talked about is the oversight and the project management. How do you guys deal with that issue in terms of training and ensuring that your federal employees have the necessary skills to manage the project successfully?
They certainly have project management training. They have contractor technical support training. They have other types of training that we are certainly working to upgrade and improve. But a lot of this is things that we really spend a lot of time looking at, how we can identify the gaps and deal with them. In fact, I've got one of my deputies looking very closely at that area, because it's one that we consider to be very important. So, you know, we look for sometimes hiring people with project management skills, but more importantly, we also try to supplement that and look at the potential gaps between what we have on staff and how we can upgrade those skill sets to make sure that we have the proper contract and project management skills in place. And, I'd be remiss if I said that we're there at this point, but it's certainly been one of my major imperatives since coming over here to this position.
All right, well, let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of those priorities that maybe you gave us a little bit of heads up around project management. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Tony Trenkel, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Chief Information Officer.
This Halloween, you can help take the scary out of neglect. On October 27th, bring a donation coupon provided at GenerationWags.com when you dine at Jersey Mike's Subs at 267 Kentlands Boulevard in Gaithersburg, and 15% of your check will be donated to the Animal Legal Defense Fund. This fundraiser is part of the Halloween Fun Run, Walk, and Rescue Fair, so come out and have fun while helping take the scary out of the lives of needy animals.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Tony Trenkel, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Chief Information Officer. Now, Tony, before break, we're talking a little bit about project management and program management and training. You guys are going down the path. You said your deputy is very much looking at the approach to identifying gaps and dealing with them. Give me a sense of what that program, what that initiative is all about.
Well, several things we've been doing here, Jason. One is we're looking at how we can develop better program management in terms of some of the newer opportunities we have here at the agency. As you know, we have a number of projects related to the Affordable Care Act, and one of the things that we've been looking at is how can we best support those projects. One of the areas is the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation, which has a number of initiatives looking at ways to improve how we pay for health care and improve health care quality. And one of the things we looked at in terms of the IT support was it was going to be huge. So one of the things we've been looking at there is we've developed a matrix team that we've drawn specialists from each of our core competency areas within my shop, and we haven't put them full-time into a new organization, but rather we've kept them based in their current organizations but brought them together in a matrix arrangement that allows us to tap various skill sets but deploy them in a way that we can react very quickly to the ever-changing needs and requirements of the new innovation center. Now, that's one model we've done. Another model is what we've done with the insurance exchange area, where we've actually develop a separate organization within my office that deals with the business side of the insurance exchange area full time. And we actually have a number of them based in the Bethesda area. And they're employing things such as agile development and other types of ways that they can respond quickly to the business side. So what we're doing now is doing those two things. In addition, we're deploying enterprise shared services. And as part of that, I've stood up a separate program management office within my organization to begin to work through how we deal with that operationally, as well as in a development stage. So what I'm doing now is basically we're testing various models of how we can do work more efficiently and effectively, and then hope to promulgate some of those lessons learned throughout not only my own organization, but throughout the rest of the agency.
How far into are you guys with these tests? Is it just in the beginning stages, or have they been going on for a little while? And what comes next for them?
The one for the exchanges, we've actually been working on this for the past year and a half. The one in the for the Innovation Center, we've been working on for the past 6 months or so, and then the shared services PMO has been stood up less than a year. So they're all in their fairly early stages of development. But one of the things, there's a number of metrics you can use to determine the success, one of which is business owner satisfaction. And we found that since we've stood up several of these models, we've found a much higher sense of business owner satisfaction with the work we've been doing, because they feel we can respond much more quickly to some of their need and basically have embedded staff working with them on a daily basis who can then develop, in a lot of cases, much quicker requirements, go from requirements to implementation much quicker. Of course, in some of these cases, we're still in the very early stages, but we have started seeing some immediate returns in terms of, like I said, satisfaction and product to market than we had in the past.
Obviously, those three things are one of your priorities. You probably have a bunch of others that you're working on. Give me a sense of what you're trying to accomplish over the next 6 or 9 months.
We have a lot of different priorities at this point, but I wanted to just touch on a couple of them, and I have mentioned several of them already. One is, of course, working to support the national implementation of the insurance exchanges. So we're actually doing the work to stand up the federally facilitated exchange and the data hub for that. I mentioned the work we're doing with the Center for Medicare and Medicaid Innovation, but we're also doing a lot of other priority work around the Affordable Care Act, developing and implementing this enterprise shared services. Security is obviously very high on our radar screen, and I've been doing a lot since I've come over here to bolster and improve our security, both what we control directly and what we have indirectly through some of our contractors. Providing better access to CMS data and information is another area that's been very critical. One of the things that's become clear with a number of these programs over the past several of the years, whether they be quality programs, whether it be something like high tech, or whether it be the Affordable Care Act, it's obviously that a lot of the future success around either bending the cost curve with health care or improving care depends on the quality, quantity, timeliness, and ability to combine data in a way that allows people, along with the proper business intelligence tools and other types of analytical tools, that allows people to make much more quicker decisions about how we can make program changes, how we can analyze the impact of program changes, how we can look at different payment models. And of course, the challenge there too is that by moving to a state where we make data and information more readily available, we also have greater privacy and security challenges, which is something that we also have to keep in mind as a balance. Now, one of the things that Julie Bond, who was had this job before I was here, was started the agency down a technology modernization path, and we published an IT plan in 2010, December, right after Julie left, that described much of what she was doing, some of which dealt in the data area. And since then, we've expanded those efforts largely because we've had to with the short deadlines around the Affordable Care Act. So things such as cloud computing. We've certainly embarked down that road. We're looking at that to support a variety of initiatives we have here, but we're still kind of in the early stages of that. We're certainly looking at ways we can develop an agency enterprise warehousing strategy that helps us kind of provide a better overall framework for how we can manage our data. And then we have a very large a virtual data center procurement that we'll be making awards on sometime in the next month or so. And that one will help us in terms of data center consolidation. So we're kind of faced with the twin imperatives of creating more efficiency and effectiveness while at the same time having greater business demands on the work we're doing. And another imperative, of course, is improving how we can give employees tools to do the work that they need to do. Employees today not only need better analytical tools, but the whole issue around mobility and improving the ways they can telework and provide better flexibility is something we've been looking at very closely as well. We just are in the process of doing another major laptop refresh. We're also looking at ways we can move towards bring your own device for employees, moving away from just providing government furnished equipment in that regard. And we're also looking at how we can deal with the situation of a more flatline budget, or in many cases we may see some fairly significant cuts, and then how can we maintain and improve the level of service that we offer not only our folks, but also providers, citizens, consumers, as we call people who are going to be using the insurance exchanges, as their numbers grow over the next number of years.
All right, your plate is definitely full, and there's a lot to follow up on, but let's take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hit upon some of those priorities and get into a little more depth. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Tony Trenkel, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Chief Information Officer.
Help cure Huntington's disease by coming out to Millbrook High School in Winchester, Virginia, Saturday, November 3rd. They'll be holding the third annual Care to Cure HD 5K Run Walk and Kids Fun Run, where 100% of the proceeds will be donated to the Huntington's Disease Society of America. There'll be awards for the winners and lots of great door prizes. For more information, please visit their website at caretocurehd5k.com. That's caretocurehd5k.com.
Welcome back. You're listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today is Tony Trenkel, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Chief Information Officer. Now, Tony, before break, you went through a whole litany of priorities. Your plate is more than full. I want to start with one of the ones that you mentioned was shared services. We talked a little bit about it. Give me a sense of where you're looking to kind of share those services across the department.
Well, across the agency first, and then we'll look at the department. I know there's some interest, obviously, at the department as well, but shared services actually grew out of the beginning work around the Affordable Care Act when we began to look at the ACA and its various provisions. Julie Bond, my predecessor, and then when I came in, both realized the fact that we had a large body of IT work that was going to be needed to support the multitude of provisions in the Act, and the thought was, well, we can't continue along the road of building stovepipe solutions. So we had a series of discussions with the department and the former CIO down there, as well as the former Chief Technology Officer, Todd Park. And the direction we decided to go at the agency level, after talking at the department level as well, and this was certainly consistent with the 25-point plan that had come out around that time as well, was the idea that we needed to build more enterprise shared services. So examples of that are things such as identity management. You can certainly build multiple identity management solutions, which we have in the past done here at the agency. But in many cases, you're dealing with the same population. So the issue is, why would you build one identity management solution for each program when you have some of the same population that's actually accessing multiple programs? So identity management was an easy candidate to look at. Then we also looked at Enterprise Portal. If you're going to be having a number of providers coming in to do business with you, for example, or citizens or others, why not build a portal that you can tie in with identity management and with some of the business processes to centralize and streamline, provide a single face to the outside world, so to speak. So Enterprise Portal was another one that was very obvious. The third was something that we call Master Data Management, or a book of records, which is as you move towards multiple payment programs or multiple business processes that rely on the same reference data, it makes sense to move towards a master data management scheme that has a set of reference data that can be used for multiple programs. And one of the things, for example, is it would also help you determine relationships. So an example of that would be if a provider was eligible for a payment in one program, but that then made them not eligible for a payment in another program. We ran into that with High Tech, where we had already had an agency program getting off the ground to pay Medicare providers for e-prescribing, but there was a provision in the High Tech legislation that said that if they were receiving a payment for that, they could not be eligible for a payment under High Tech. So what we had to do at that point was develop something on the fly to deal with that. When you have something like ACA, which envisions a variety of payment models or potential payment models, this becomes geometrically more difficult. So this is something where master data management can be very supportive. So over the last year and a half, we've been looking to begin to develop and deploy these three shared services. As we were doing that, we also had another shared service that was also tied in with some of the early work that we had looked at with HHS, and that was business rules. And we found that developing a business rule engine would actually allow us to share certain business rules across different platforms as well. So the idea is over the next several years, beginning with some of the major ACA projects, but also going back to the other CMS programs, that we build the foundation, which we're doing now. We already have a lot of the foundational work built for those four shared services. Second, begin to deploy them within some of the major ACA provisions, such as the insurance exchanges, such as dealing with accountable care organizations. And then thirdly, looking for efficiencies where we can begin to consolidate and make more effective use of the IT that we have here already. So if we have a half a dozen identity management systems for providers, let's begin to consolidate them over time.
I just want to jump in and say, talk a little bit about the identity management piece, because one of the things that I think CMS and SSA and HHS more broadly was looking at was the kind of the idea of open standards for identity management. Is that something that you guys are also considering?
Yeah, absolutely. We've been very tightly coupled with the work that the NSTIC team has been doing. We've been very tied with them, in fact. They provided input to our statements of work that we went out to get our procurements. They also had very close working relationships with us with the work groups that they've stood up. We have members of our identity management team actually working very closely with them. We've also been working closely with the Office of National Coordinator, NIST, and others, because we recognize, and of course Social Security, because we recognize the fact that we're going to be a major relying party in this, and if the world is moving towards federated identity credentials, we want to make sure that whatever gets done not only supports our work, but that our work supports the larger infrastructure being envisioned through NSTIC. So we've been very tightly tied with them for the past year since the NSTIC effort really got off the ground. So we've awarded several contracts in the identity management area, and we're working to implement those programs even as we speak now.
One of your other priorities I want to shift over to is cloud computing, obviously a big push across government. You had made the comment when you were going through your priorities that that's really just maybe in the very beginning stages. Does a lot of the efforts around the data and the management of this stuff for the Affordable Care Act, are you guys looking at the cloud to help make things happen more quickly?
I think that that's a fair statement. We definitely are utilizing cloud technology in the building of the federally facilitated exchange for the insurance exchanges and the data hub. We're definitely working in that area there. We're also utilizing cloud technology for the enterprise identity management, and there's a number of other efforts around the agency as well. Of course, cloud is one where you can have a very open cloud platform or one where you have a private cloud. And obviously, given the type of information that will be looked at, analyzed, or even stored in some cases, we have to be very careful about the type of cloud platform we deploy in this case. That being said, we are not only utilizing that in these initiatives I just mentioned a few moments ago, but we also have that as one of the key components of our virtual data center procurement. I mentioned that to you a few moments ago, and we see that as really becoming a flagship for doing data center consolidation and also providing a way to get better access to data in a secure environment for people who want to utilize our data to support a lot of the healthcare reform work. And what we envision is having several data centers doing a variety of tasks, and in many cases will help us shrink our security footprint as well. We have a very large number of data centers that qualify under FISMA. There's a question depending on how you define a data center, but there's certainly dozens of them out there, and part of this effort would be deploying new technologies, but also creating a stronger security perimeter as well.
Let me ask you about the cloud used for the build exchanges and the data hub and the ID management. Is that basically an internal cloud, kind of something that was run and controlled by CMS or even broader HHS? Or is this something maybe you're looking to the public sector to maybe run a government-only cloud, but still in the commercial cloud?
Yeah, right now it would be more of a private cloud run by CMS. Of course, we're working very closely with the department and others to look at ways that could be expanded into a larger HHS type of cloud environment or other areas. But it wouldn't be a public cloud.
All right. Sounds like we could, again, talk a lot longer. You have a lot going on, but unfortunately, we're out of time. You've been listening to Ask the CIO on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. I'm Jason Miller. My special guest today was Tony Trenkel, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services Chief Information Officer and Director of the Office of Information Services. Tony, thank you so much for taking the time to join us.
Thank you, Jason.
You've been listening to Ask the Chief Information Officer on Federal News Radio 1500 AM. If you missed any part of this program, you can hear it in its entirety on our website, federalnewsradio.com. Ask the CIO, only on Federal News Radio 1500 AM, WFED, your source for federal news now.